To go a little bit further, this Dr. Musser just gave his results from across the Cotton Belt. This is just from Texas and additionally one location in Mexico. The works with Dr. Pietrantonio, also Terry Unick, has done quite a bit of this work at A&M and quite a few collaborators across the state. So we've probably covered quite a bit of this, but Zea is the number one pest for cotton, and especially in Texas. We had about 500,000 acres treated and about 43,000 bales lost, and that was a pretty light year last season. But we've been doing a monitoring program using the adult vial test with cypermethrin since 2003, pretty much widespread across the state, all the way back to 97 in the College Station area. And then the last two seasons, we've also used one location in Tamaulipas, Mexico, just to kind of test the assumption. A lot of thought has been that maybe the resistant moths are coming from Mexico, so we tried to start monitoring there as well. We need to thank all these collaborators that helped us out, because these are the ones that really ran the vial tests and also sent us the data to analyze all this. But so we looked across 12 different counties in Texas and the one location in Mexico. And we've gone over this a little bit, but basically they just pheromone trap adult male moths. This is the quickest way to catch moths. Typically, you set the trap out in the evening and collect the next morning, so you're hoping to get fresh, healthy moths. And we test different concentrations of cypermethrin dissolved in acetone on this adult vial test. So these are made in the laboratory. We ship them out to all the collaborators across the state. And what they do is when they go out and trap, you put one moth per vial and you evaluate mortality after 24 hours. And all of these have been compared to a baseline susceptible population from Burleson County in 2005. Rather than using the discriminating doses, the Texas monitoring program has used a range of doses to get a full log dose probate line. This, you don't get to test as many moths at the discriminating doses, but this gives you a better idea of how the population is and how it evolves over time and across the different population areas. And then again here, either that 3 to 5 microgram rate is usually typically thought as a discriminating dose between susceptibles and heterozygotes. And then as we saw in the last presentation, that 10 microgram is kind of the gauge for where you think you have a resistant one. So I'll start down here with Tamaulipas, Mexico. They had some cotton, it was all conventional, a whole lot of grain sorghum. Lower densities this year than they normally have, but there are some pyrethroid applications in cotton, also a little bit in corn. And you'll see this type of slide quite a bit, but what I have here in the light blue color, or the dark blue color, is the LC50 level, and the light blue color is the LC90 level. And what we have here in the black numbers, these are the actual LC50 and LC90 values. And over here in the purple, these are the resistance ratios. So basically, how many more times that resistant that population was than the susceptible population. And just for reference here, we've got this B2005. That's that susceptible Burleson County colony. Also, Dr. Conga did some work with susceptible population in 96. So you can see these two were real similar. And so for all these resistance ratio comparisons, we're comparing back to this Burleson County colony. Typically, when you see a resistance ratio of 5 or greater, it's when you really start to think you have a resistance problem in that population. So that's kind of the gauge we're looking at on a lot of these slides. So we've got two dates here from Tamaulipas, Mexico, with the exception of this one, a little more than 6 at the LC90 level. There wasn't too much of a resistance problem here at either of the sampling dates. Also, I'll show a little probate line from the last couple seasons, typically from about the middle peak portion of the season, where we usually see the highest levels of resistance. I'll show that for all these locations as well. And you can see here there weren't really any differences between 2006 and 2007 for Mexico. In Hidalgo County, again here we had quite a few pyrethroids, not only for bollworm, but for some other pests as well. And we only had one sampling date. The resistance ratio was less than 5, but there was a little bit of resistance in this population. This is our first time sampling down there, so we only have one line, but there wasn't too much of a problem there. We didn't have any survivors above 5 micrograms per vial. Up in Nueces County, perennially, we've had some problems here with resistance. We see this pretty often. We had lower densities than normal this year, but there were quite a few pyrethroid applications in sorghum and cotton, both a lot for stink bugs as well as worms. And this season, you can see, you know, the LC50 resistance ratio stayed pretty constant, anywhere from 5 to 7. And this is a pretty high level of resistance. We see this typically in and out of each season. You can see at the probit line, this stayed pretty consistent with the last several years. However, in 2006, 2007, we haven't seen any survivors at the 60 microgram level, so the most resistant individuals seem to have decreased a little bit in the recent years. Uvalde County is where we had the biggest increase in resistance this season. There were quite a few crops that had lots of intense pressure from bollworm and other stuff that had pretty intense pyrethroid pressure throughout the entire season. Not only in cotton, but in grain sorghum and some other different crops that they grow around there. But you can see we had three sampling dates, and it steadily increased throughout the season, even up to a resistance ratio greater than 10 in September. So this is one place we really want to monitor closely because we seem to have digressed this past season. And hopefully we want to get quite a few sampling dates next year and see how this keeps evolving. Right here, this just shows the probit line for the middle of the season, and it's pretty consistent with the rest of them, but the September population that had that resistance ratio of greater than 10 had a line somewhere right in here, so it was quite a bit more resistant. Also, we had survivors at 30 and 60 micrograms here per vial in 2007, which they had never had previously any survivorship over 10 micrograms per vial. So this is one pretty hot area we want to keep an eye on. In Burleson County, again, here there were quite a few pyrethroids for grain sorghum and for cotton. We also have here trap count data, and this shows kind of a similar trend to what Dr. Musser was showing. Typically, in the very early season, that first flight, we had really high numbers. You see a decrease and kind of another little peak in the middle of the season toward July, then another little peak in September of bollworms. Now, this is just bollworm counts that we collected in the traps there, but the peaks somewhat corresponded to the peaks in the resistance that we saw. So here we have quite a few sampling dates just because it's located so close to the campus, but in April and also in July, we had resistance ratios greater than 5. For the most part, it stayed relatively steady and fluctuated a little throughout the season. We're still in better shape than we were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, but it was pretty similar to the last couple of seasons what we've seen in Burleson County. Williamson County, again, several pyrethroids here. We only had one sampling date, but there was quite a bit of resistance present. This will be another place we want to take a closer look at next season and see, exactly what's going on. One thing, Dr. Pietrantonio's lab came out recently with a paper working with Dr. Westbrook with USDA looking at prevailing wind patterns. And I know this was brought up a little in the last presentation, where the moths coming from. So we're still trying to overlay data like that to look and see where the prevailing wind patterns are coming from. As I said, we had that problem with resistance in Nueces County down here. Well, a week previous to where we saw the resistance problems in Williamson County, we had pretty strong prevailing winds, quite a few coming from Nueces County. So it seems like a pretty testable hypothesis that we can look and see if these bugs are actually the same ones migrating or if it's an actual problem we're causing there at Williamson County on site. So that's something we're probably going to take a closer look at. That was pretty much the bulk of the resistance problems. I'm going to go quickly through these other ones where we didn't really see too much of it. But for the most part, okay, up in Ellis County, there were some problems in BT cotton. So there were some sprays in that with pyrethroids, as well as in the conventional cotton. But resistance ratios were pretty low. And the probit was pretty similar to the last couple of seasons. Over in Runnels County and also Tom Green County, there were no survivors above the 3 microgram dose, but there were higher populations than we've seen in the last couple of years. There were quite a few treatments, you know, in sorghum and cotton both as well. But again, low survivorship, low resistance ratios. Same with Jones County, similar densities in the last couple of years. We had pyrethroid treatments in both cotton and grain sorghum, also some other modes of action that might have helped reduce it, but later in the season, there was some resistance in the population, nothing too critical, and it stayed pretty similar to the last couple of seasons. Also, Hockley County, there was quite a few BT crops this season compared to last season. Also, there was quite a bit of rain up there that might have prevented the migration up as far northward as you typically see, but we didn't have any survivorship above the 1.5 microgram per vial dosage. Palmer County, there were pyrethroid applications, some in cotton, also in some other crops, green beans and black-eyed peas. but again, resistance ratio is relatively low, and the probit looks pretty similar to the last couple years. Swisher County, no control problems, a little bit higher populations than we've seen. There were some pyrethroid treatments here as well, but we didn't have any survivorship above 1 microgram per vial, so the resistance was pretty low. Now these slides, what I've got here, this is the highest concentration at which we saw survivorship, and we've got data from 2003 to 2007. As you get here, like for instance, in the purple here on the bottom, if you see purple, such as in Uvalde County from 2007, that means the highest survivorship we had was at 60 micrograms per vial. So if you follow this, typically up in the panhandle in the north, we've seen pretty low survivorship and low resistance problems. And when you get over here toward, you know, Nueces County, Uvalde County, Burleson and Williamson, we've seen a little bit higher survivorship at these doses. Typically speaking, most stuff stayed pretty stable or went down a little bit, with the exception of Uvalde County increased from 06 to 07, and also Williamson County increased a little bit. This is the same type of slide, but looking at the highest the resistance ratios, the highest ones we saw throughout the season. The blue is non-significant from the susceptible population. The yellow was a resistance ratio that was significantly different than the susceptible, but less than 5. And then the red is anything that was greater than 5. And again, here we saw a pretty similar trend that over here, Nueces, Burleson, Williamson, and Uvalde had the highest resistance ratios, with one of close to 11 over here in Uvalde. So just to summarize real quick, those, the Uvalde especially, still Nueces, also Williamson, and a little bit in Burleson, these are the areas we really want to keep a close eye on and see where resistance is occurring and how it keeps going in the coming seasons. We're also going to keep looking at these overlying wind patterns a little bit and see if we can make some sense of exactly why these are coming this way. Again, Uvalde had the highest levels of pyrethroid use it's had in quite some time, and also the highest resistance, so that's an area we really need to keep a close eye on. Up north still, the high plains, rolling plains, northern blacklands, lower Rio Grande Valley and Mexico, all of these still had pretty relatively low levels of resistance this season. We also had higher than normal levels in several places of bollworms, and quite a bit more rain this season, which probably explains a little bit longer growing season, probably a few more generations that came through. But still, as we were talking about selection pressure, some of our thoughts still are that lower rates of pyrethroids used in other crops are probably somewhat contributing to this resistance problem when you have later in cotton, because a lot of times the producers have been doing a better job about using higher rates in grain sorghum and in some other crops early season, but a lot of times those lower rates may be what's contributing to the resistance problems in later generations in the cotton. But we'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated and the Texas State Support Committee, as well as Dr. O'Leary, for helping fund this research and give us support for that. And with that, I'll take any questions if we have time.
We don't have time for questions, so thank you very much.
Thanks.